Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can choose this. Or you can choose that. It's time for whatever you prefer.
And as always, the real ones will recognize some of the voices that you heard there in that
opening. They know.
The great Bill Matz.
Yeah,
the real ones know. And the great Dano, in fact. Like Shorty Lowe.
Yeah. Right.
Did you listen to Dano after we talked about
it? Yeah, I did, and I told you I'd never actually heard it before, and I don't know how that happened, but it happened.
Dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the games now. We will start our prop journey here in Tampa with the Bucks and the Eagles. So let's start with the Eagles offense here, Ken, and I will read the notable props for the Philadelphia Eagles skill position players and, of course, quarterback Jalen Hurts. And you tell me what you prefer, if anything, out of this list. Jalen Hurts, passing yards, 195.5. 51.5 rushing yards for Jalen Hurts. That's his prop number at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. Miles Sanders will, we think, serve as the Eagles' primary running back from his hand injury. Rushing prop today, a 43.5. Worth noting, Boston Scott and Jordan Howard also back for the Philadelphia Eagles in the running back room. Eagles pass catchers, Devontae Smith, 44.5. Dallas Goedert, 53.5. Jalen Reagor, 16.5. Great job, by the way, by the Eagles, taking him over Justin Jefferson. And Quez Watkins, 26.5. What do you prefer, if anything, out of the Eagles, Ken?
A couple of the passing ones maybe seem a little bit too low for me, even though, you know, if we like Tampa's defense or think that they have a lot of guys back, you know, where to attack, you know, Philly's passing offense in terms of playing overs, maybe a couple ideas there. But I don't know if you did this intentionally. I feel like maybe you did. But the way you framed, the way you gave out some of the props. Are we sure Miles Sanders is going to get a lot of carries today? When you read that out loud and you said who else was available, like, is he even... like, what is the right number for him, I guess, is what we have to try to figure out, right?
It's probably this. I think the number
is it, though?
Like, I mean, well, I think the expectation is going to be is that he's going to be their number one back. I mean, they could... I think Kenneth Gainwell should maybe be their number. He was awesome last week. And we'll talk about Gainwell in the Prop King segment coming up next year on You Better, You Bet. I don't know that I would never bet the over. How about that? I don't know that I'm racing to bet the under, though, on Miles Sanders, if that makes sense.
If you're asking me what I prefer, I think it's... whenever I try to think about, you know, like the prop, you're the prop king, the props are kind of your domain. But whenever I try to think about them, it's more like, all right, like where is there likely to be volatility? So like the Eagles pass offense has had for a while, a little bit here, like the same players starting at same positions. Like we have some frame of reference for probably what the market should be. You know, they've obviously gone a little bit more run heavy, et cetera. So like, I feel like we have a good frame of reference for a lot of Philly's offense. The attack point would seem to be running back. I mean, maybe, and it could be that you like the over instead, but like what number is most likely to be off? Based on what we've seen from the Eagles, they have four viable running backs. Basically, you were playing anytime touchdowns for whoever the largest price was, you know, different types of runners too. We obviously know Tampa has a great rush defense kind of as a reputation. It's gotten worse as the season's gone on. I don't know what it's going to be today. I think good would be my expectation because overall it's been good and Levante David's back. But I think the attack point has to be, are we sure who's really going to get a lot of carries? Are we sure it's injury prone Miles Sanders, who's like not a straight ahead north south runner? Like, are we sure that's the case? We're not. So if we're not sure and he's being lined like we are, that seems like maybe an attack point for me. I think that would be what I prefer.
I think I'm looking to get after that particular angle as it concerns the anytime touchdown market. We will move now. And Devontae Smith would be the guy I would look at. 44.5 seems entirely too low for the great Devontae Smith. Let's move to Tampa's offense. Tom Brady passing yards, 272.5, which is really interesting now with like the wind not expected to be as bad. Keyshawn Vaughn, 48.5 rushing yards with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones both out. Rob Gronkowski is now up to 61.5 receiving yards. For context, when I was on WFAN earlier this morning, it was 58.5. Mike Evans, 50.
55 and a half. Tyler Johnson, who's like the slot receiver now with Godwin out, 32 and a half. Breshad Perriman, 39 and a half. Cam Brate, 14 and a half receiving yards. Do you prefer anything with the Bucs offense, Ken?
Yeah, I mean, I think I prefer Tom Brady to have a great day against this Eagles secondary, to be honest. Also worth noting, our producer Tyler mentioning in the chat that the Eagles will be without defensive end Josh Sweat, one of their better, obviously, defensive line players, pass rusher, edge rusher for them, after, quote, overcoming a life-threatening situation this week. So obviously, wish Josh the best, but worth noting for just a handicapping standpoint, that it is, you know, notable against a very good Tampa offensive line that the Eagles will be without one of their better edge rushers. Does that, you know, give Brady a little bit more time in the pocket? Does that make his decision-making just a little bit easier? I think, of course, it does. Does it have some significant impact on props? Probably not, I would say. Maybe like Eagles sacks in the game would be the only thing I could think of, but even that's probably, you know, not worth a massive adjustment. In terms of the offense, yeah, I can't, I mean, I mentioned with the Eagles, okay, what's our starting point? Okay, volatility in the like either with injuries with Eagles running backs is what we settled on basically because of that. There's a ton of volatility in the Tampa offense everywhere because this collection of players basically just hasn't played a lot together. So I it's funny. I don't know what the attack point is specifically, like which player or who benefits the most when we don't have a lot of data on who it is, but it seems like there have to be some opportunities here on some of these skill position players because we have no expectation really for what the Tampa offense is going to look like.
For me, it's Rob Gronkowski. We know the Eagles get shredded by tight ends. Like they have a great front office. I mean that sincerely, not tongue-in-cheek. They don't care about off-ball linebackers and safeties. Tight ends shred them. Gronk, double-digit targets, three of his last four games, and the prop keeps going up, and I think for good reason. I think it's a monster game for Rob Gronkowski. Let's move to the 49ers and the Cowboys, and we'll start with San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo, passing yards, 248.5. Eli Mitchell has emerged as like basically the only running back. Debo's a wide receiver, gets carries as well, but the only traditional running back. Eli Mitchell, 79.5 rushing yards. And then the three big receivers for San Fran, Brandon Ayuk, 47.5, Debo Samuel, 63.5, and George Kittle, 50.5. You prefer anything with San Fran?
We did our same game parlay for this game, and my opinion will be the same for Dallas. So these are obviously not prohibitively high numbers for both teams, but for San Francisco, like kind of what you would expect, and the key players I think are lined pretty well based on how I've seen the markets previously, what you've said about them. I do think this game has like a big potential to get loose and be completely crazy. Maybe not even from a scoring standpoint. Red zone production will lend itself to sort of like if there's a lot of scoring, but just from a yardage standpoint, like each team seems like they might be able to do exactly what they want to do on offense in the game. Niners, obviously, their running attack. Dallas struggles a little bit stopping that type of running attack. And then obviously the Niners secondary, even though it's transformed a little bit, getting players back has been shredded by a lot of teams this year. And Dallas's passing offense is incredibly productive. So I think if anything, like, I kind of like making some same game parlays with like some of these productive players to go over their numbers. I think the game like can get loose more. I feel that way more about probably any other game this weekend.
Yeah, if I had to, Kittle's the guy that I really like here, and like we'll talk about it more in the Prop King segment. There sure is some concern. Is it concerns betting in a lot of concerns there in that sentence? Betting well, it over
as concerns as it concerns. I mean, that's God, a lot
that's
of concerns.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen. Sometimes whatever I fade myself into a yes, whatever yeah. I concern into a verbal corner as I did just now. We'll touch on Kittle and the concerns with concerning his over in the next segment here when we give out our best bets. But for Dallas, does any one player stand out, Ken, with like Dak at 275.5 passing yards, Zeke 47.5 rushing yards, CeeDee 62.5, Amari 57.5, Schultz 39.5. Cedric Wilson, 41.5. And before you go, I just want to set the table for you.
Sure.
When we talk about the running backs and the receivers for Dallas, all the numbers look pretty good to me. And for me, at least, especially with CeeDee's number on the rise.
Sure.
I feel like it's just like you're throwing darts. And not that you can't win, but it's really hard to pin down and say, this guy's good. Maybe they all have great games. And maybe the strategy is just to bet all of them. Like, I'm not going to do that. But like Tony Pollard's back. I think he's better than Zeke. It's a playoff game. Maybe Pollard gets more work and Zeke goes under the total. Like, what if it's Amari gets 15 targets and then CeeDee goes under and Schultz goes under and Wilson's goes under? I just think there's a lot of uncertainty with Dallas, which makes me a little less apt to bet any overs on their props or unders for that matter.
Right. When we did Eagles running backs or Tampa wide receivers, we had no frame of reference for how the targets are going to be distributed. In this game, I think it's entirely different. I think it's like, we can't possibly pick, and the attack, like the prices are all very high. They're prohibitively high. And we've seen this collection of players all get a lot of work previously. I think we expect balanced distribution, at least to start the game. So it's just, I agree. I don't think there's like an attack point here necessarily. If you want to bet the Zeke under, because you think Pollard's better and Zeke's obviously been dealing with injuries and he hasn't been very productive this year. Great. I think it's possible that they're dealing with an injury, that he's dealing with an injury and that he might be ineffective, but you know, like it's also a very low number for a team that win probability wise is expected to be winning. So, you know, kind of, I would say play that at your own risk.
Countdown to kickoff, Super Wild Card Sunday in the National Football League. You better, you bet. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley show brought to you by the Bet River Sportsbook. Search You Bet wherever you find your podcast to subscribe to our show, which is awesome. It's called You Better, You Bet. Last game tonight is the Steelers and the Chiefs. Ken, let's roll through this here. Let's start with the Steelers. I think we've got a lot of uncertainty here. I don't really like to bet any of these props here today. Roethlisberger, 229.5 passing yards. Najee Harris, 64.5 rushing yards. He's coming. He's got an elbow injury. He's off the injury report, but that's got to concern you a little bit here. Receiver-wise, apparently Juju Smith-Schuster is not only activated, but is going to play in the game tonight.
Right.
Like, we thought he was done for the
uncertainty.
Season.
Yeah.
Now, gonna be on a snap count, but yeah, it's also like the last game of the season. If he's playing well, he's gonna stay in the game. They're not gonna be like, oh well, you know, Juju, you're playing great, but we've got you on this snap count here, so come out, and then our season ends. So just like more volatility in a bad way, I feel like introduced to the Steelers prop market. Claypool 42.5, Deontay 61.5, Freiermuth 31.5, Najee 21.5 receiving yards. That's the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like Juju back into the offense. And does that have a ripple effect to any of the other skill position players? That's basically the only like problem worth solving, I think, from a prop market standpoint. Everyone else, this collection of players been together for a while. And it's obviously Ben and it's Najee Harris and it's the wide receiver. So it's like, does Juju coming back give you an opportunity to make a bet? I guess that's kind of the question you have to answer. I don't have a good answer for that. Like, who does it take the most target share away from, you know, yardage wise? Like, exactly. Like, just so, trying to solve that problem of how his return impacts everything. I guess that's probably the approach here. If nothing is dropped and he's just being added into the prop market, then it's probably like unders on all the receivers that aren't him. Honestly, if we think he's going to be on a snap count and get any targets at all, then those prop markets were made incorrectly because they were made before he was playing. So like, that's kind of the examination, right? Has there been any movement with him back? If there hasn't, that's probably the mistake. It's probably under on Deontay and Claypool and the rest.
Well, we'll move to Kansas City here to close the segment. Mahomes, 282.5 passing yards. Darrell Williams, 55.5 rushing yards with Clyde Edwards-Helaire out for the game. Tyreek, 70.5 receiving yards. Same number for Kelsey. Once you pop, you can't stop. Byron Pringle, 29.5, and Darrell Williams, 22.5 receiving yards. Anything stand out to you there for KC?
I think the interesting thing is, you know, in the previous meeting, obviously Kelsey didn't play. He was in COVID protocol. And Tyreek basically told you after the game that he was like garbage because he felt terrible because he had contracted COVID prior to playing in the game. So it was just those two guys. We don't have any frame of reference for how the Steelers can defend these two players, basically. So I think, you know, part of solving this is going to be, do you think the Steelers have the capability of defending them? Because we have no evidence or frame of reference that that's the case. They both strike me as like a little low for a playoff game with like max repetitions and like max usage. It's kind of interesting with such a big favorite that would be the case.
Yeah. And it's like, we've seen the Chiefs more so than usual this year. I mean, generally in the Mahomes era, right? It's been Mahomes, Tyreek, and Kelsey with other guys kind of sprinkled in.
And recently, massive targets, not just like that they're the best players, massive targets.
Yeah. And like now we're seeing Pringle get more work and Mecole Hardman gets more work and DeMarcus Robinson's getting some work and the other tight ends are getting work and the running backs are involved in the pass game. I think that there's an angle to take here with Kansas City in the prop market. I'm not sure it's playing like a ton of like receiving yardage overs though. That's a tease coming up for
tease.
In the industry for the final segments of the show. Which is coming up on the other side here. So every single week here on Countdown to Kickoff, we close the show. Stop me if you've heard this before, with our best bets. So we're going to hit all three games today.
We're going to do worst bets. We had talked about worst bets when the start of the season. We were like,
I did that yesterday. Really it was Patriots plus 4.5.
So that's right. And it was the Raiders. That was, yeah.
So up next, side total props for the Bucks, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the 49ers, the Chiefs, and the Steelers, including an appearance from the Prop King, thy royal Prop King here on the BetQL Network.